Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit. It's 8.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. Thank God for another weekend. Last Saturday was a recorded edition. I was out of town. But tonight, I'm here. We thank God. And yes, the news these days is something else. But I just hope these are things that would let us understand the times we are in. Tonight, last week and last 2 weeks, I've been talking about important decisions you have to take this year and actions to take. And last week was about time, managing our time and all those things. Tonight, I'm talking about fear, the issue of fear, which is quite deep and very serious. I don't know whether I can finish it tonight. But first, let me talk about the news and something else, if you've been following the international news. Anyway, I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from 9 till now till 9:30 p.m. And for anyone who has been following the international news today, you see what is happening. Russia is just prepping, getting ready to attack Ukraine and all that. These are quite serious issues. But anyway, let me get into the details and let's get going. So, some of the things happening this week. This news is a bit interesting because this is the scientist, atomic scientist, and you know all those stuff. They have this doomsday clock that periodically they use to determine the state of the world towards destruction. And so this headline says, "Doomsday clock stands at 100 seconds to midnight, and the world remains in extremely dangerous moment, the closest ever to apocalypse." So the doomsday is as close today as it was yesterday, according to a hypothetical timepiece known as the doomsday clock for the second year in a row. The clock's hands hover at 100 seconds to midnight, the hour of humanity's destruction. However, it's still not too late to turn back the clock's hands and make the world safer for people worldwide, said timekeepers with the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, that BAS. The representatives of the non-profit announced the clock's new time on Thursday, January 20th, at a virtual press event, which you can watch on Live Science. The past year included several bright spots and many disturbing trends, including alarming rise of online misinformation that kept progressing, mitigating the pandemic and hindered strategies for addressing climate change. And the BAS president and CEO, Rachel Bronson, said at the press event, "The 22 doomsday clock statement explains that the decision does not by any means suggest that the international security situation has stabilized. On the contrary, the clock remains the closest it has ever been to civilization ending apocalypse because the world remains stuck in an extremely dangerous position." That's quite worrying. And so that is what the scientists are saying when they look at the state of the world, the news and all that. Well, they are not far from the truth because things are happening. Last week, there was this big news that happened Saturday, but it happened after I had recorded. So it was in the afternoon that this news came. Tsunami hits Tonga after underwater volcano erupts in South Pacific. So waves across the shoreline of Tonga's capital, Nuku'alofa, on Saturday, flowing onto coastal roads and flooding properties, according to CNN affiliates Radio New Zealand. Tonga's King Tipu VI was evacuated from the royal palace after the tsunami flooded the capital, and residents headed for higher ground as well. There was a satellite captured the eruption of the volcano from the sea, under the sea. So it just erupted suddenly, and the eruption of the volcano created a tsunami that wave that was about 1.2 meters or 4 feet, but it moved as far as 8,500 kilometers to the coast of California, but then it was at around one foot, so it didn't cause any destruction there. But that should give us an idea of the magnitude of the volcano, because the effects caused the ripples of sea water to move a distance of 8,500 kilometers. That is huge. And now today, scientists are saying from the satellite imagery and all that, the volcano reached, the plume from the volcano reached halfway into space. An indicator of great power of last Saturday's volcanic eruption. And UK scientists examining weather satellite data calculate it to be around 55 kilometers above the Earth's surface. So the plume from the volcano went as high as 55 kilometers up towards space. That is, it tells you the power that was behind this thing. All right, then we have this next one that says, Britain just warned Putin and Xi, that the prime minister, the president for China, that the West will stand up to dictatorship. And that is quite serious, because you see, once they say that the West will dictatorship, then it means they are going to resist. So Britain warned Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping on Friday that its allies would stand together to fight for democracy against dictatorships that said were more emboldened than at any time since the Cold War. Speaking in Australia, British Foreign Secretary Liz Truss said Britain and its allies in the free world must respond together to global threats, deepen ties with democracies in the Indo-Pacific area, and face down global aggressors who were using economic dependence to try to get what they want. Truss and Britain's Defence Secretary Ben Wallace met their Australian counterparts in Sydney for the annual Australia-United Kingdom ministerial consultations, where a deal for Australia to acquire nuclear submarines was also discussed. In a joint statement, the ministers expressed concern at Russia's military buildup on the border with Ukraine and their absolute support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Russia denies planning to invade Ukraine. As for that statement, it's something else. In a speech at the Lowy Institute Foreign Affairs think tank, Truss said Putin should desist and step back from Ukraine before he makes a massive strategic mistake. Truss said invasion will only lead to a terrible quagmire and loss of life, as we know from the 1979 to 1989 Soviet-Afghan war and conflict in Chechnya. Global aggressors are emboldened in a way we haven't seen since the Cold War, according to Truss. They seem to export dictatorship as a service around the world. That is why regimes like Belarus, North Korea, and Myanmar find their closest allies in Moscow and Beijing. Then we also have this one. Spain deploys warships and possible warplanes to Black Sea as tensions grow between Russia and Ukraine. Spain has sent warships to join NATO naval forces in the Mediterranean and the Black Sea as tensions in the region rises over the Russian military buildup on the Ukrainian border, Defense Minister Margarita Robles said on Thursday. A minesweeper is already en route and a frigate will sail within three or four days, Robles told reporters. And then the Madrid government is also considering sending fighter jets to Bulgaria, she said. Quote, Russia cannot tell any country what to do, so NATO will protect and defend the sovereignty of any country that can or wants to join NATO, she said. Spain's preference was for an exclusively diplomatic response to resolving the conflict, she added. Ukraine is not part of NATO, but has asked to join, something Russia has staunchly opposed. And naturally, that's the main reason why this whole war, pending war, is looming. And the military alliance, however, has rebuffed Moscow's demands that it not extend further east, which the Kremlin has used as an excuse to amass its forces and claim unspecified security concerns. Western nations now fear Russia may soon launch an incursion into Ukraine similar to its 2014 annexation of Crimea Peninsula. According to the report from The Hill, Spain joins several other NATO countries to help bolster Ukraine's defenses, including Denmark, which said it was sending a frigate to the Baltic Sea, and France, which has offered to send troops to Romania. So, you know, like the game of chess, pieces are moving around the board, and doesn't look good. And then this next headline also says, Russia-Ukraine crisis. Why Brussels fears Europe is closest to war in decades. And normally when they say Brussels, referring to the EU, like the capitalist headquarters is Brussels. So why Brussels fears Europe is closest to war in decades. Europe is now closer to war than it has been since the breakup of former Yugoslavia. Stark words of warning from senior EU diplomats. I have just been speaking to off the record about current tensions with Moscow over its huge military buildup on the border with Ukraine. The mood in Brussels is jumpy. There is a real fear that Europe could be spiraling towards its worst security crisis in decades. But angst isn't wholly focused on the prospect of long, drawn-out ground war with Russia or over Ukraine. Few here believe Moscow has the military might, never mind the money or popular support back home for that. True, the EU warns the Kremlin of extreme consequences should it take military action in neighboring Ukraine. Germany's new foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, was in Kiev and Moscow saying just that on Monday. Sweden moved hundreds of troops over the weekend to its strategically important Gotland Island, which lies in the Baltic Sea, and Denmark strengthened its presence in the region a few days before that. The rising tensions has also reignited the debate in both Finland and Sweden as to whether they should now join NATO. By overreaching But the overreaching concern in the West, that's Washington, NATO, the UK and EU, is less possibility of conventional warfare over Ukraine and far more. That Moscow is seeking to divide and destabilize Europe, shaking up the balance of continental power in the Kremlin's favor. And then Poland's Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki told me last year that the West needed to wake up from its geopolitical slumber regarding Moscow's intentions. Fellow EU countries would say they have now woken up and are smelling the very strong coffee. But as is too so often the case when it comes to foreign policy, EU leaders are far from united over which precise course of action to take. Moscow denies, despite the massive buildup of troops on the border with Ukraine, that it's planning a military invasion. But it has issued NATO with a list of security demands, loudly blaming alliance for undermining regional security. Vladimir Putin insists, among other things, that NATO bans Ukraine and other former Soviet states from ever becoming members of the organization. NATO flatly refused that, and the three summits held over the last week or so between Russia and Western allies have failed to find such common ground. Actually, yesterday too, there was a meeting between the U.S. foreign U.S. Secretary of State and then the Russian foreign minister. But I'll get to that news. That's also something else. What Vladimir Putin plans to do next is unclear. But the West believes the Kremlin has invested too much in these very public maneuvers over Ukraine to back down now without something to show for it. The Biden administration is waiting impatiently for the forceful EU position on possible sanctions, depending on what course of action Moscow takes. A military incursion into Ukraine, cyber attacks, disinformation campaigns, or, as is considered most likely, a mishmash of hybrid attacks. EU optimists predict the bloc will agree a raft of possible sanctions by 24th January at the next foreign ministers' meeting, but that's far from guaranteed. A number of EU countries are arming and readying at the, looking at the cost of eventual sanctions to their own economies. Brussels normally discusses burden sharing, but the outcome of those negotiations may well not please everyone. There is also widespread concern in EU about gas supplies from Russia, especially with prices so high for European households this winter. Washington says it's looking into ways of softening the impact on energy supplies. It wants to hurry the EU into agreeing a firm position on sanctions, knowing all too well that on foreign policy, approval needs to be unanimous amongst member states. And then, where post-Brexit relations easier between EU and UK, one would expect a lot more shuttle diplomacy right now between London, Berlin, and Paris to compare and discuss ideas, maybe agreeing a common course of action. So Brussels diplomats are slightly, they can describe the UK government as probably too wrapped up in domestic political scandals to have geopolitics top of its entry right now. So on Monday, the British Secretary of State, Defense Secretary, Ben Wallace, announced Britain was supplying Ukraine with short-range anti-tank missiles for self-defense. He said a small team of British troops would also provide training. So you realize that behind the scenes, various countries are sending missiles, sending this, sending that, and all that. But today, this afternoon, the breaking news came from the U.S. Secretary of State's Department, the Secretary of State. Also, the State Department issued this warning. The headline on CNN was, "Families of U.S. Embassy personnel in Ukraine ordered to begin evacuating as soon as Monday." And when you see such an order, it means something is not right behind the scenes. So the State Department has ordered families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine to begin evacuating the country as soon as Monday, the U.S. officials tell Fox News. Okay, sorry, this was on Fox News rather. And then next week, the State Department is also expected to encourage Americans to begin leaving Ukraine by commercial flights while those are still available, one official said. You know, when you see a news like this, I don't think you should even wait till Monday, because with what happened in Afghanistan, the way the U.S. government failed their own people, if you're an American and you are not embassy staff, by now you should advise yourself, because once you get stuck there, forget it. So Moscow has amassed tens of thousands of troops at the border with Ukraine, leading to fears of an invasion. And then late Friday night, the U.S. embassy in Ukraine announced the first shipment of ammunition. Ammunition had arrived as directed by President Biden. So U.S. officials say small arms ammunition constitute of the bulk of the 200,000 pounds of what the State Department is calling lethal aid. Lethal aid, okay? So needed by Ukrainian soldiers in the front lines. So U.S. officials also tell Fox that Javelin anti-tank missiles are expected to arrive early next week from the Baltic states and from the U.S. military stockpiles. Advanced Russian fighter jets have now arrived in Belarus. You know, so everybody is moving. Russia is moving things. U.S. is moving things. U.K., Spain. And then so Belarus, that's to the north of Ukraine. The Pentagon is concerned that Ukraine's capital is now in the crosshairs, another official added. The West has rejected Moscow's main demands, promises from NATO that Ukraine will never be added as a member, that no alliance weapons will be deployed near Russian borders, and that it will pull back its forces from Central and Eastern Europe. The U.S. government is planning to move a ton of weapons and ammunition. Ton, like a ton in quotes, a ton. I mean, so that's not just 1 ton, but like a ton relative, like, I mean, a lot. And weapons and ammunition to Ukraine in the coming days, officials say. Talks between Blinken, that's the Foreign Secretary of State of U.S., and Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov on Friday yielded no breakthroughs. Though both sides agreed to continue negotiating diplomatically, the two diplomats will speak again after the U.S. Submits a formal response to Russian demands next week. So you see, they say they are talking diplomatically. Arms are already being moved. So I wonder how these talks. But the next news also says Romania and Bulgaria slam Russia's demand to move NATO troops as unacceptable. So NATO members, Romania and Bulgaria slammed Russia's demand to remove alliance troops from both countries as unacceptable, with each arguing that the Kremlin has no right to interfere in the foreign policy decision of their sovereign states. So the comments from both countries came just hours after Russia's foreign minister confirmed that its demand for NATO to pull back troops from parts of Eastern Europe included Bulgaria and Romania. The two countries are located on the Baltic Sea, which analysts believe Moscow sees as an important geostrategic buffer zone between itself and Europe. Romania's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said in a statement Saturday, such a demand is unacceptable and cannot be negotiated. Bulgaria's Ministry of Foreign Affairs urged Moscow to show respect to the foreign policy choice consciously made by Bulgaria. Bulgaria's ambassador to the UK, Marin Rivkov, told the BBC that Kremlin's demand is an expression of contempt for the sovereign rights of Bulgaria to choose the sources of guarantees for national security. So Russia and NATO have been at loggerheads since last year when the Kremlin deployed an estimated 100,000 troops to its border with Ukraine. And the military posturing has prompted fears that Russia is planning another incursion into Ukraine after invading and illegally annexing the Crimean Peninsula in 2014. So, you know, this is all that is happening, the Russian tension and all that. I like one headline put it that in the midst of all this, China is patiently and quietly watching the actions that America will take. Because if the Russia indeed invades Ukraine, and depending on how America acts, then they can now know, okay, then they too, they can take Taiwan. I mean, so we are in very volatile situations now. But see, the danger and the worry is that this thing will ripple effects through the global pricing of crude. And the effect of crude, we are down here in a little Ghana, but we can't run away from it. It will affect us heavily. Already, you know, prices went up recently. And when it goes up like this, at the crude, international pricing can just skyrocket into abnormal levels, which virtually will throw economies overboard. Already, economy in something else. So these are worrying times that we find ourselves. But, you know, as believers, these things, we just know these things as information, and then guys has to pray and know what to do, but not to fear. And today I'm talking about fear anyway. I'll talk about it simply. And then let me get into the lab. Yemen rebel attack on UAE throws challenge to the region. So this week, the war things have been a bit on the show side. So a sharp escalation in conflict in Yemen this week questions about the direction the war is taking and what it means for the wider region. Saudi air strikes against rebel Houthi targets in Yemen have been deadly. Aid agencies say one attack alone killed dozens of people when a detention center in the Houthi stronghold of Sada was targeted. And so far, I think they are saying about 70 people have been killed. And then the strikes are being seen as a response to Monday's rare missile and drone attacks by the Houthis on the UAE, which is a Saudi ally and a member of the Saudi-led coalition fighting the Houthis. If there were doubts as to whether that attack would lead to a direct response, the Saudis' actions provide a strong hint of an answer. So even before the latest Saudi action, a long-range strikes on the UAE placed a spotlight on wider developments in the region, notably the UAE's efforts to pursue a new diplomatic path, not least towards Iran. And the reaction to those attacks illustrates the growing rapprochement between the Gulf states and Israel. The strikes on 17 January hit an industrial location just outside Abu Dhabi, setting fire to fuel trucks and killing three foreign workers. They also struck an area near the international airport. While the Houthis say that they have attacked the UAE in the past, this is the first time the UAE authorities have acknowledged such airstrikes and the first time that people have been killed. The Houthis aim to persuade the UAE to stop backing militias loyal to Yemen's internationally recognized government. These militias, notably the Amalega Brigades and associated groups, have had some recent success in the battlefield in Yemen, pushing the Houthis out of key areas of the south of the country and stepping up fighting in the oil-rich Maghreb governorate in the north, a major stronghold for the Yemeni government. And much depends on how the United Arab Emirates responds. Because UAE, they are, you know, tourism is a big issue, people going to Dubai and all these things. So they are very worried about this sudden attack from Yemen. Because if people fear that going to Dubai, they can be attacked by rebels flying missiles from Yemen and all. It's also brought new tension there. But the bottom line, as believers, you know, we have to understand the season we are in, the times we are in. You know, things are, if you really analyze the news, world news, and all that is happening, even in Ghana to some extent, and you are inclined to Bible prophecy and you are spirit-led to understand what is happening and all, you shouldn't be too surprised by what is happening and the escalation of things. The truth is things are going to escalate even further. But that is the reason why we should know what is happening and we should know that we have a God we can hold on, who is our fortress, that we should not fear. And I'll be back after this song, which very nice one by Victoria Orenze, and I believe I'll be back after Buck Moore.
He's the one preserving you. He's our Lord. According to Psalm 91, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is your fortress. He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. He has been keeping you. And because you have received him, you are among. Say, Father,
your wings,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
beautiful song by Victoria Orizzi. You know, this week I saw the song and I've played it maybe more than 100 times. played it. Well, you know, the words are real. The word of God. I just quickly just ran through. Father, you are hiding us beneath your wings. Jesus, your shadow is our covering. Father, you are hiding us beneath your wings. Jesus, your shadow is our covering. You are the glory and the lifter of my head, our defender. Lord, you are a defender, our covering and the rock on which we stand. You are our fortress. Lord Jesus, you are our fortress. Father, you're hiding me beneath your wings. Jesus, your shadow is my covering. Father, you're hiding me beneath your wings, and on and on. So you're hiding me in the shadow of your covering and all that. You know, this is just the word of God in Psalm 91. But the reason why we need such words is the fact that, you see, the spirit of fear is dominating and it's increasing. And it's very important we look at it critically. So, you know, let me start by reading something from 2 Timothy 1:7. I believe that was is quite common. Almost everyone knows about it. And says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, the fact that it says that it's a spirit should immediately give us the needed attention that it deserves. If it just said, oh, fear is just an emotional something, or I mean, just something that our feelings or whatever words we can, adjectives we can use to describe it, we can just see it as a normal human reaction to things and all. But the fact that the Bible says spirit of fear, our understanding of fear having a spirit backing it should cause us to be very attentive and take it serious. You know, how does fear come? Let's please, you see, let me give you a case study, because we are all witnesses to what is happening in the world. You know, COVID came, I mean, beginning of 2020 or end of 2019 or whatever. But there's a shadow of fear upon the world since the COVID came. But let me use a practical case study so that you can understand where I'm coming from and how a lot of us have fallen for it, because how it's worked out. You know, consistently whole thing started. The news media, you know, the top ones, the little ones, the CNN, the big ones, and then the small ones we have here in Ghana and all, they kept a certain narrative. And it was all pushing fear into us. These people have died. 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 You see, so we kept hearing, and see, as you hear, the seed is being sown into you. Fear. Fear. You see, so it was something that was being drummed all over. You CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, Fox News, any network you put, you come to Ghana, GBC, you know, multimedia, Joy FM, everywhere. This number of people have died. Italy, this person. So it's like we were choked with that, surrounded and being choked with the news. Death. And then you look at it and you ask yourself, so at the point, you know, those were the times, at the point, this lockdown period, lots of time home, online. So I started checking the statistics myself. And then, is this worldometers or something? This where they were giving this, that country by country. So I started looking at the numbers. So they mentioned this number of people have died. But they don't often talk about the number of people who had it. And so it's like, yes, how many people, this number of people have died, out of how many? So they don't talk about that mostly, because you see, the narrative is to create a certain picture. But if they give you the full information, the narrative they want to create, they won't achieve it. So they withhold some of the information so that they bring out only the one that will push fear into you. So let me give you an example. If someone tells you, oh, 8 people have died in Ghana within a number of period, a number of days, 1 week, example. There was a period, yes, 8 people died. But then they just tell you that, so it's like, hey, people are dying, you know, people are dying, you know, people, then fear is coming. But they don't tell you that, oh, of the 8 people that died, it was out of a total of about 30,000 who had the disease or the virus at that time. So you see, if they give you a picture of 8 out of 30,000, your understanding is, oh, then, I mean, that fear will not come. So they intentionally withhold that part out of how many. They don't tell you that, except you go looking out for it yourself. So it's always the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear. And you see, as believers, we are not immune to fear, because if we allow ourselves, we also fall into it. And of course, it's obvious, Christians are falling into it. So the fear factor has driven us to levels which is not good. And you see, because it's affecting us. And when fear becomes a stronghold on us, it automatically affects our faith. Because then we doubt God, then we can't trust God, then it's all about let's save ourselves, and then we don't even want to believe in God again. Unconsciously, it's a gradual process. So this period I'm talking about, issue of fear, I've given you one example of how it came or it comes. I remember watching one leaked report of CNN producer who was talking at a restaurant with a group of people, and he didn't know it was being recorded, in which he was describing how they were intentionally just pushing the numbers on the screen. It was fixed. The news, I mean, various event news were happening, but they created a portion where the numbers were fixed, the deaths were fixed, and the cases. And it was just meant to push fear into people so that they will hate the president. The president is not doing well and all that. See, so the whole plan was to influence the way people were thinking, because they know what you see and what you hear influences your thinking. So it's not ordinary when you see a narrative being pushed. But my point is simply that let's understand the dynamics of what is happening, so that we are not influenced by it. I know a lot of people listening even have been influenced by it already, but let's de-escalate. Let's come back and push out this fear factor. You see, you must know who we are first. We are Christians, first and foremost. You see, I mean, it's as though, I mean, I was talking to a friend and we were discussing, it's as though since COVID came, I mean, Christians, we don't, our God, we don't, it's like there's no God again. It's as if, you know, this one day, this is a bit, it's a new thing, so we can't even trust God for it. We can't, so let's just play wise, let's be this, let's be that. But that cannot be Christianity. Christianity is a practicable, it's a practical thing. We have to practicalize it when the need arises. And if this, with a small mortality rate, can scare us to this level. I mean, check the numbers yourself. The mortality is less than 1%. Even in this country, across the world, it's less than 1%. So if something with a low mortality rate like this can push fear into believers, then how much more when bigger things which have higher mortality rates comes? That one, to what will we do then? If we can't even trust God, and we are living in fear with something that is causing, that is, the factors are less than 1%. There are much more when things that causes larger numbers die. Then that one will not even say we are Christians again then, because if it has pushed us to this level, can push us to this level, then how much more those that, like smallpox, which mortality can be 30% or more, then what will you do then? What would we do then? Is it so? Let's reflect on the past, what has happened in the last 2 years, and see how we've been influenced negatively as believers to the point where fear has overtaken us, to the point where we can't even indirectly and directly trust God again. It's sad because, I mean, yes, leadership has also led us along that path. But let's pull the brakes and start asking questions. Is this the same God of Elijah that we are also serving? Is this the same Jesus in the Bible that we also read, that we are following? You see, so the issue of fear, it's time we address it head on. As believers, we should know our mandate. We should know our position in Christ. And then we should know the availability of the resources of heaven that we have. So if we have all these things available to us, why then are we afraid? Why then are we living as if we cannot trust in God? Why then are we living as if, like, the world is like, I mean, we are dead. It's like, it's, I mean, you know, you, oh, seriously, seriously. We hear people in the statements and it's scary. It's serious. You see? So, I mean, I was telling a friend this week that I now understand this verse very well, that the spirit of fear, I now really understand it well, because when I see the effects of what this thing has done, unbelievers, including pastors, I now see that indeed fear is a spirit, because it has held people in bondage. It's like people are enslaved to it now. So even when you reason with them with statistics, that, I mean, see, this is not what, no, it's like, you see, a certain narrative has been painted. The mind has accepted it already. The seed of fear has been sown in that person. So forget about anything that tries to let the fear go. No. Let me be in my fear zone like that. But as Christians, I mean, we cannot walk along this path like that. And the reason why the Spirit led me to address this issue is that more fearful things are coming this year. And I repeat, more fearful things are coming this year. So if we cannot deal with fear as believers, then we are likely to run into situations where we'll begin to question God when more fearful things come. Then we'll begin to question our faith, because our faith will be eroded and undermined by the fear. So that's why it's a serious topic, because if we don't deal with the fundamentals, because the current issues we are seeing, the pandemic and all, I'm telling you, is nothing compared to what is coming. Because we are going to run into situations where multiple problems are in the world. Wars, serious rumors of wars, food crisis, famine, disasters. You see, so it's like, you are surrounded, we are choked by around, we are hearing, you hear this, you hear that. It's like, whilst you are hearing one breaking news, then another one is coming. And you see, so if we don't build ourselves and establish our spiritual grounding well in the faith, then we can be overtaken by fear to greater levels. You know, let me get into the word of God. What did Jesus say? Let me get into Luke 21. And then we look at the very words of Jesus regarding these issues I'm talking about. 21 verse 11 first says, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, pestilences." We've seen one pestilence, not many. We've seen only one. So pestilences. "And fearful sights and great signs." Even Jesus says fearful sights. Fearful sights. "Great signs shall there be from heaven." You know, in other words, what he's saying is things that you, the world will see, can bring fear into you. Fearful. I mean, fear. But see, the fact that he says foresight, does it mean we should fall for the fear? Because he has given us an option not to fall for the fear. Let me get into 21, 26. Luke 21, 26. That also says that men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, seriously, yes, I mean, as human beings, there are things you see that can shake you. But you see, that's the normal human reaction to things. That one is not a problem. It's not a sin. It's not, I mean, it's, that one is not something that doesn't mean you are not a believer. As normal human reaction, yes. But then, you see, that's the first stage. But then to move to the second stage where it now has a grip on you, that is a choice. So you can now choose to fear or not to fear. For the initial stage, it's like, hey, we must show. That one there, it's normal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean your faith is, no. Because we are all human. That's, it's normal for us to react that way. When you see something, whoa, I mean, it's, But then, beyond that line, that is where the problem is. Are you going to allow yourself to move into fear and let the spirit dominate you? Or you say that I refuse to fear? That is the choice we should be making. So I'm talking about the fact that we are going to see, we have to make a choice to fear or not to fear. But then because you can, before you can say, I will not fear, then you should have a backing. You should know what you are standing on to say, I will not fear. To fall for the fear, then it's like, most likely, I mean, you are not grounded spiritually, your faith level and all can influence you that way then. But then to choose that you will not fear means you should be grounded spiritually. Your faith should be well grounded. And that is why we have to understand what is happening in the season so that we prepare ourselves emotionally, spiritually, physically. We prepare ourselves so that, you see, we are not caught off guard when things be. Jesus said these things. So if, let's say, you're a believer and you start seeing the things he talked about, earthquakes. I mean, last week, seriously, when I was watching the Tonga volcano, I watched it and realized, see, a surprise one. It just, I mean, fine, they declared it active, that volcano active from December. But the eruption was sudden. It was just sudden. And I look at it and it's like, so imagine a world where this is happening there. Then Russia is going to war, whatever. Then it's like cost of food is going up. Then this is here, that is here. You see, when you begin to see things like that, as a normal human being, fear will start to take over. But then we should now look at it from a different angle. Are we normal human beings or we are heavenly? We have a heavenly kingdom. We are living on earth. We are following. So then, clearly, we should now know our mandate that we are not ordinary human beings. We are believers, first and foremost. And the earthquake, the volcanoes, the one who causes it to happen is the one that we serve. It's God. These are all handiworks of God. When earthquakes are happening, volcanoes are happening, these are all the shakings God has orchestrated and allowed. So if you know the one who is behind it and he has said these things will happen, the way you receive it is should be different from the one who is an unbeliever and doesn't understand what is happening. So they will be cursing God and, you know, asking all sorts of questions and all that. But as a believer, you should know your position and who is behind what is happening in the world. So when you know these things, you understand these things. More so, Jesus has said, these things would come. So when they begin to unfold, it's like, whoa, the word of God is true. That's how you should see it. You see, so as to how we receive information and how we process the information makes a lot of difference. So just like the pandemic issue. So if like two people, how I see when they mention the numbers, how I process that information is different from how others also see it and process it. So when you do a press conference and you say, well, 30 people have died this year, I mean, I was having a chat with my sister, and then she mentioned it, that they mentioned 30 people have died this year in the country and all that. The next question I asked was, so out of how many? Because as soon as you know the how many, then it tells you, you realize that then what's the big deal then? Of course, every life is important, no doubt about it. But you see, the narrative that should push fear into you, when you understand the numbers behind it, you refuse to fear. You refuse to fear. You see, so we should understand the dynamics of the times we are in and how we process information. So the same information, how Mr. A will process it, is different from how Mr. B will process it. So someone hears it and is shaking all over. Someone too hears that same information and it means nothing to the person because he understands the real information and makes meaning out of it and sees that this is nothing to fear because other things are causing more dangers and more harm and more deaths than this. So why should I fear this one? Of course, not to live carelessly. But you see, the aspect of fear is the emphasis here. You see, so in as much as a certain narrative is still being pushed, it's time we refuse to be affected by it. Let others fall for it, but not you, the believer. Let others be fearful and whatever. But you, the believer, you must stand your ground because you know who you serve. You know the God that you serve. You see, we were chatting, a friend, you know, saying that in 2020, you know, the lockdown period and all, you know, Psalm 91, believers were quoting it and preaching it, pastors preaching Psalm 91. Now, as if Psalm 91 there is no longer part of it again. We are not, it applied to a certain part. At a point, we can't trust in Psalm 91 again. Now, let's help ourselves. You know, we should be consistent. If we are trusting in God, we should trust in God. But see, when we allow fear to overtake us, then now our trust in God is withdrawn or is shaky. So we begin to wonder, we begin to have doubts, we begin to, you know, because we'll be hearing voices, you hear this, you hear that, you hear this, hey, then it's like your fear, the fear level is increasing, it's increasing. And I'm telling you that more fearful things are coming. So if COVID can let you be so fearful like this, then when the senior fearful things come, the seniors, things that are going to shake the world to the point where even the word COVID, people will even forget about it. Not like, look at people in Tonga, for instance, the island. Now, who is talking of COVID in the area? Because something greater than COVID has come. Tsunami has come. And the whole place has with ash from the volcano. People are thinking of something else. So now, you see, this is what I mean, that bigger things, bigger problems are coming onto the world. So we should build our faith. And the major thing is hearing what we hear and what we see. This is the doorway to fear. So as we open ourselves up, we hear, we see, then the influence is there. We are being influenced. So if you cannot guard, we have to place a filter within our hearing and our seeing. In terms of, because you can't say that you not hear the news, you not see the news or what, but you should make a conscious spiritual effort to filter out the fearful things. So you make a firm decision that I will not fear. It's a choice that I will not fear. So it doesn't matter what is happening. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we should make that firm assertion, firm statement. But you see, we've been saying it, quoting it, reciting it. But let me tell you, we are getting to the point where we are going to start living. We should start living it. Saying it is one thing, but living it, practicalizing it, is the real deal. And we are getting to that point where we would have to start living it. But we have to start from somewhere. We have to first understand the dynamics, what is happening, and then have an idea of what is coming so that we conscientize ourselves towards it. And then spiritually to tune ourselves towards it, prepare towards it, pray towards it. Because, you see, the reason why we shouldn't allow fear to dominate us is that the love of many will grow cold at a point. Why would their love grow cold? Because of how the world conditions will be. You see, so it will cause people to start doubting God, asking questions. Because it's like, well, we can't go on with this Christianity thing again. You know, because of things that will be surrounding them. Situations, scenarios, events, problems, you know. So, you see, because of these things, it can cause you to leave the faith. It can cause you faith. But there are also people who go through these same things, but they don't leave the faith. Their faith rather grows stronger, and then they stand. So, it's a choice that we have to make this year that we are not going to allow fear to dominate us again. That hold, stronghold of fear that is on us through the things we hear in the news and the narratives that they paint a picture that makes like people are dying. You know, let's refuse to fall for the fear. Let's refuse to fall for the narrative that has been packaged to push fear in you. Oh, yes. Because see, they know if they give you the full information and you analyze the numbers yourself, you will not fear. And they don't want it that way. So it's like, let's paint a certain picture. Let's paint a certain picture. I remember I had a chat with one journalist. And, you know, I was listening to them one morning somewhere. And the adjectives they were using to describe. Then I sent to my minister, I said, this word that you are using, if this thing is indeed that, then all the children in that school should have been dead by now. But as we talk, zero. No student has died in that school. So why are you using a word like that to describe the situation? You see, so that is what has been happening. The people push fear in the people, push fear in the people. You see, so when we used to fear, we walk in freedom. We walk in the liberty that we have as believers. When you know, let me, if someone says, fear not, we have so many instances in the word of God, fear not. When someone, in this case, let me just find from the human before I go to God aspect. When a leader sends you, a boss sends you, then you say, oh, boss, when I go, they'll ask, it is sorted. Your confidence in going on that assignment is different because you know that whatever you encounter has been sorted by a higher authority. Because your boss says, fear not, it's been sorted. So you know that when you encounter a situation or situations, it's been sorted. So you are not afraid when you are going. So even when you meet the situations, you know that behind the scenes, it will be sorted by some means because it's been sorted by your boss, somebody in authority. So it's the same thing as believers here. When God says, fear not, the God who holds the universe in his hands, when he says, fear not, why then are we afraid of what scientists and human beings are telling us? You see, so unconsciously, we have relegated that issue of who is in charge. And we have kowtowed and we've allowed men to dictate to us and push fear in us. But the word of God says, we should not fear. Fear not. But yesterday we say, no, we want to fear because this thing is scary, so we want to fear. God, you let me allow me to fear a little because it's scary. But he says, don't fear. He said, no, I want to fear. That's exactly the game we are playing now. Fear not. We say, no, we'll fear. Fear not. You see, we are refusing to come out of that bondage because the spirit is dominating us. The spirit of fear is dominating believers. But let's break out of that hold. Because you see, it's very dangerous, because when you are dominated by the spirit of fear, it affects your decision making. It affects your faith. You can't escape it, because clearly it's going to affect you. But we should understand. No, you see, Genesis 15:1, I like this one, where it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not. Fear not. This is God. I mean, let me read this other one as well. And Moses said unto the people, Exodus 20:20, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that he may sin not. You see, so Moses was assuring them, fear not. I mean, you see, because the tendency was there to fear. But he says, fear not. Fear not. Deuteronomy 1:21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We've started a new year. Let this be meant. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of thee. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. It's God who is going through the year with us. He has started with us, and he is going to go with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So why should we allow fear to dominate us then? As if you know you are with God, God is with us. Why should we allow fear to dominate us? So it is very important we know our position. And then from that position, know what is available to us, the opportunities available to us, and then stand on it. You see, we should make a choice that this year we will not fear. Oh yes, I mean, as for the truth, it has to be said, we should make that choice, because fearful things will come. But if you have decided that I will not fear, it doesn't matter. Let the sea rise, let whatever happen, you know that I am with God, or God is with me. I will not fear. So others, everybody around you will be afraid, and you will be at peace. And people will ask, ah, this guy, Charlie, what's wrong with him? Everybody is afraid, everybody is worried. You are there, you are calm, you are at peace with yourself. And they will come to you and say, so you, who? What is wrong with you? Who is your God? Then it opens up the opportunity to tell them about your God. Because then they will wonder the how. How come you alone? Everybody is afraid, and you are not afraid. Everybody is worried, everybody is complaining, everybody is like, but you are at peace. In the midst of the storm, you are still at peace. And they will ask, so who is your God? Who is that God that you serve? Then that's a door opener. Then you tell them about the God that you serve. Then they also know that, yes, there's a living God that they can also serve, who will not disappoint them, who will deliver them from that fear that they are in. You see, we should position ourselves now by understanding the season we are in, have an idea of what is coming. We can't understand everything that is coming, but have an idea in terms of the way, and then what some trusted prophets of God who are warning about, and then what the Spirit himself is also telling us and prompting us. You see, when we combine all these things, and then we are basing our lives on the word of God, on prayer, living right, why should we then be afraid? Why should we then be afraid? You know, assuming people, somebody works at the presidency and is sent, office of the president, he's been sent on an assignment, he's given security escorts. When that person is walking in town or in the car and is being driven around, it doesn't fear anybody. Because the power that backs him, the highest power in the land, he is on assignment for the highest power of the land. So why should he be afraid? Because just a phone call and it's like... So that person, the confidence that person moves around in town is something. Because he knows the one who has sent him is the power, the leader, the most powerful person in the land has sent him. Who are you to confront him? Who? It doesn't fear. That person doesn't fear because that boldness is emanating from the authority where he came from. So now compare ourselves, believers. You know, it's either we don't believe in God, we don't trust God, we don't understand who he is, per what we read in the Word of God. Maybe it's like stories to us. But you see, it is time we put ourselves in the Word of God. When we are reading that God says this and this and that, let's see ourselves in it, that he is saying it to me. You see, we have to personalize it. When we are reading it, don't just read it as some fairy tale, some fiction, some history, some story. Read it as a living Word of God. This is what God is saying to me. Read it to yourself. Declare it to yourself. Speak it to yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as you say it to yourself, you hear it. It is transforming you. It is pushing out fear. You see, so in a real sense, the only way to combat it, not the only way, but like the main ways to combat fear is to take the steps. The first step is to decide that you are not going to be afraid. It doesn't matter what is going to happen. Even if the whole whatever is happening, you have decided that you will not be afraid. You are going to stand your ground. Because of who you serve, the God that you worship, the God that you believe in. You see, we have to first take that decision. And now you start building up your faith. We have to deal with it. Because if we don't and we allow it to overcome us and to dominate us, it would affect our Christianity as we go. Because when challenging things arise, it will cause you to question your faith. When challenging things arise, challenging times, things are, you know, the world is turned upside down and confusion all over, you know, it will cause you, if care is not taken, you can leave the faith. You see, and for those who think, we can just live with it, what's the big deal? Please, we should see it as a serious issue because, you know, the first time I saw this verse, I was, wow. Revelation 21, verse 8. But number one, the fearful. Can you imagine that? The first list of people who God says they are not coming to heaven. No. Revelation 21, verse 8. The first category, the fearful. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers. So you see, the fearful, even the list, priority wise, they even come before the murderers. They come before the abominable. It's serious. So, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fearful. So this should tell you that to entertain the spirit of fear, it has consequences as well. Because you see, these are not my words. This is the word of God. Revelation 21 verse 8. But the fearful. Because these are the fearful. To be fearful means you've allowed fear to control you, and so you take decisions, do things, and because everything is based on fear. But you see, nobody becomes fearful just suddenly. It's a process that it grows. It starts somewhere and it proceeds and it escalates and it grows. So just one day you are not fearful, just suddenly one day then you are fearful. No, it's a process. It's like the seed is sown and it grows. It's a spirit. So it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where now it controls you fully. And the word of God in Revelation 21:8 says, the fearful cannot enter the kingdom. So if not at all, this verse should let you revise your notes that no, you will not fall for the spirit of fear. You will not. You should not. You will not. Decide that you will not allow fear to take hold of your life. Because when we allow fear to have a grip on us, the end is no good. Oh yes. If we don't break free from this and we allow it to continue to dominate our lives, you see, it's from one fear to another fear. So this fear and then another thing comes that the fear continues because it's a spirit. So it's not that you are afraid of only COVID or COVID fear alone. No. When something else comes, that fear will transmit, it will continue. When something else, so you are just living in fear. And that is what God says, the fearful. You are fearful. Because virtually, then your life is full of fear. You are afraid of this, you are afraid of that. You are just living in fear. We should be careful. We should be very careful and deal with fear at the root cause. Let's deal with it. Pray in the spirit of pray, deal with it. I mean, you know, decide that you are not going to fall for it. Counter it. The things you hear, decide that, yes, you hear it, but don't allow it to influence you negatively. Yes, you see it, but don't allow it to influence you. Build a filter, a barrier within your spirit that I will not allow these things to influence me. Because sometimes you'll say, okay, someone will say that, okay, me, that's why I don't listen to news, so I don't want to see the news. So, but eventually you hear things. So, is it not listening or watching is not what stops the fear. It is deciding that you don't care about what's, when you see it, you decided that I don't care, I will not fear. And that is possible. I mean, it is very, very possible. So, make that decision. Make that bold decision. And I believe it's going to be of help. Brother Ben says that... he said, okay, I think I missed the message. Okay, it's a personal message. And then Pastor Roger says, the news that Job heard can be compared to today's news narrative. Everything was bad, but Job's reaction in verse 20 confirms verse 1, that is, one that fears God. So, he has lived all his life in God, so the problems could not take him out of God. So Job 1:13-19, yes. So the news, yes. I mean, classic case of wild news after the other. He was hearing this, he was hearing that, he was hearing that, but he still held on to God. Okay, thank you, Pastor Roger. And that's exactly the situation. It's such a serious issue that we should learn from the word of God. We should learn from the personalities in the word of God. That's the reason why we shouldn't just see the Bible as just some storybook. Let's practicalize it. It is important we practicalize these things in our lives now. We have to. God willing, next week I'll be talking about faith, and because we have to start building our faith. And because you can't just sleep, then the next day you wake up, you're a man full of faith. It doesn't happen that way. You build your faith. It's a process. It takes time to. You just can't build one day suddenly magic from your faith as high as the mountain. No. That's why you have to start building your faith ahead of time before these, you know, the rough days start unfolding on this earth and in this year. Faith building is a process. God will, next week we'll be talking about it. We have to deal with these things, prepare ourselves towards these things, know how to pray. Know how to pray. It's very, very critical. And I believe as we do these things, the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us. You know, I'm almost done. I'll be closing at 9:30. But let me finish off with this fear, this song. I just love it. You know, the same singer I played, Victoria Orinze. This is, Anogo Fear. You know, I just love the words in the song. You see, we should take control of what we hear. We should take control, influence the things that control, counter it with the positives, the things you hear, the things you read. You see, the type of songs you listen to, the type of sermons you listen to, it goes. I mean, it's all part. We'll be talking about it, God, next week as we look at the issue of faith. So thank you for listening to Issues of Life this evening. I'm Eben. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. The recordings will be on spiritissues.info. And those in Telegram, just search for Spirit Issues. You can get it. And I believe you'll be blessed as you do. So, good night. Thank you for listening to Spirit 88.3. God bless you.
So as you enter this new year, as you have entered this new year, don't be afraid. Me, I've already crossed over. You've entered. Don't be afraid. What did I say? Say, do not be afraid. Scripture says it all the time. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Be bold in the Lord. Because you have a lot. God has apportioned something for you. And everything God has apportioned, you will have. Do you understand me? So you go into the year declaring contrary to what the world is declaring to you. If you receive what the world and the devil and the rulers of the earth are trying to sell to you, you'll be on your own. Do you understand me? So go not afraid. Go full of faith. Go full of faith. No fear. I know they fear. No fear. Don't be afraid. No fear. I know they fear. I refuse to be afraid. For those of you in Canada that don't understand, I know they fear, it means I won't fear. I know they fear. Those of you around the world that don't understand, I know they fear. I know go fear. It means I won't fear. I refuse to fear. Do you understand me? So make this your declaration in this new year, in 2022. Make it your declaration. Say over yourself again and again. Good things are coming to you. Bad news are not coming to you. Bad things are not coming to you. Your portion you will receive. What is yours you will have. What belongs to you, you will get. No man will take your portion. No man will take what belongs to you. The Lord will preserve what belongs to you. This year you will lead many to Jesus. This year you will know Jesus more and you will lead many to Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This year, Lord, you go ahead of us. This year, you are aligning everything. This year, things are falling in place for us. This year, all the land will yield for us. This year, Lord, you go ahead of us. This year, you are aligning everything. Yeah, things are falling in place for us. This year, all the land will yield for us. So I walk in all God has for me. I recover everything. I walk in all God has for me because Christ is.
for me, I recover everything. I walk in total victory because Christ gave for me. Say I walk, I walk.
Walk in it. It was on the cross for it.
As a church, as to see the throne of grace in Canada, you must walk in what Jesus has paid for. You must do what Jesus has paid for. As a church, you will walk in all Jesus has paid for. Walking of miracles, signs and wonders, following Jesus without wavering. You walk in it in the name of Jesus. And to everyone listening to us, you will walk in all Jesus has paid for. Remember, he died for it. He bled for it. He was put to shame for it. He was chastised for it. He was bruised for it. He was spat on for it. They put crown of thorn on him for it. So you must. That's the decision I have made. If Jesus paid all of this, then I must walk in everything. And this is your reality in 2022, 2023, and the years to come, if the Lord tarries. God bless you.